And let's open our Bibles now to that portion we read from 1 Samuel chapter 3, and let us pray for the blessing of the Lord upon his word. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for the message that we heard this morning of that young boy who gave his 5 loaves and the 2 fishes for the feeding of the 5,000. And Lord, we thank thee for the exhortation that we received, that we are, each one of us as individuals, to give of ourselves to the Master and to give of our very best to him. And tonight, Lord, as we come to thy word, we pray that thou would open our eyes to behold wonderful things from out of the law of God today. And Lord, give us a good time in the house of God, a time when the presence of the Lord is real. And Father, we pray it from thy word, thou would strengthen us and challenge us and build us up. And Lord, help us that we will be good channels of blessing for our blessed Lord, and that we will tell the good story and the wonderful story of thy gospel. And so be with us now, we pray, and speak to our hearts and do us good, for we ask it in Jesus' name. We have been teaching you folks for a long time the good habit of doing daily reading of your Bible. And many of you, I know, are using daily reading calendars, and these are helpful, and you go through the whole Bible from beginning to end. When you open your Bible every day at the appointed reading, it's a good thing to pray, Lord, show me something new out of thy word today. And it will amaze you just how what a blessing the Lord will give you and show you something. Now, I have been a Christian for over 65 years. And I can't tell you how many times I've read through the Bible over that, but I've read it a lot. And I have discovered one thing, that no matter how many times you read it, there's always something new that comes and that's asking, preach on me, because you can see some new thought there within the word of the Lord. A worldly book, read it 3 or 4 times maybe, and you've exhausted it. But when you come to the Bible, it's inexhaustible. Now, 1 Samuel chapter 3 is very special to me because the very first time I ever occupied a pulpit was when I was a boy of 14, and I was in the Boys' Brigade, which was a boys' organization in connection with the church, and the minister asked me if I would read the scripture for the annual Boys' Brigade service that they had every year. And the reading was 1 Samuel chapter 3 and the first 10 verses. And I was very, very nervous about it, and I think I could almost quote the first 10 verses still to this day, because I read it and reread it, and it was very, very special to me. Now, some 68 years after that, I'm still finding something in that book. And especially right now, I'm reading through 1 Samuel, just finished it, and going into 2 Samuel. But just a couple of weeks ago, I came upon something that I'd read many, many times, but never had focused on, and it was a blessing to me. Now, the case of Samuel, you all know his story well, how that he was born miraculously in answer to the prayers of his godly mother, Hannah, and how that she pledged to give him back to the Lord, which she did, and took him to the tabernacle. There was no temple in those days. The temple came along in Solomon's day. But she took him to the tabernacle where he lived along with the priest Eli. And you remember how that the Lord, as we've read, spoke to him, and he thought it was Eli, and 3 times that happened. And then Eli caught on and realized it was the Lord that was speaking to him. And so he told Samuel to go back, lie down, and if God calls again, answer and say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth, which he did. And then we're told after that that Samuel, he grew, and he grew up in the Lord, and verse number 19. Now, here's the bit that I really was thinking about and I want to look at tonight. Verse 19, and Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him. And then this bit, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. God did not let any of the words of Samuel fall to the ground. And wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if you and I as Christians, we could say that about ourselves, that our words do not fall to the ground. And I want you to think about that a little bit. And first of all, to think of the wonder of our speech. Now, Samuel was called to preach. He was called to speak. He was called to prophesy. He was called to teach. And all of these, of course, require the faculty of speech. And the speech is a wonderful thing. And you and I, we are entirely different to the rest of the world. If I was to get you to speak tonight, all of us have different accents. I think I'm the only one in the church who doesn't have an accent. All the rest of you have accents. And some of them are quite severe and some are not so bad to understand. But did you ever hear a dog barking with an accent? You ever hear a dog barking with an American or a Canadian accent or an Indian accent or whatever? Dogs don't bark with accents, neither do cats meow with an accent because they're entirely different to us. Now, what happens is that human beings, we have to be taught to speak. But you take a dog, a little puppy dog, take him away from all other dogs and never hearing a dog bark, he'll grow up and he'll bark. Because that's his instinct. And the same with a cat. The cat's going to meow just like cats do. But human beings, we're different because we have to be taught to speak. And it's wonderful to see little ones as they begin to walk around and begin to say their first words, Mama and Dada and so on. And what a wonderful thing speech is. And we have to remember that God was the one who taught Adam to speak. And then later on in the book of Genesis, he scattered them abroad and he scattered their languages abroad. And so today we all speak different languages coming from different countries. It was the Lord who did that. Now, do you ever stop to think how speech works? That what happens is in your mind, you've got a thought. And that thought is some sort of electrical impulse. And you've got a thought. And I want to communicate that thought, and that's what I'm doing right now. I want to communicate that thought with you. So what happens? The thought in my head goes on a column of air that blows over my vocal cords, and it will give me a sound, just a sound. That's all it is. And if my vocal cords are tight, it'll be a high sound, a soprano sound. If my vocal cords are slack, it'll be way down in my boots. So we have this ability to speak. So the thought is translated onto a column of air, and the column of air passes over the vocal cords and starts vibrations that are a noise, and then into our mouth that air comes, and with our tongue and our palate and the shape of our mouth and so on, we can actually shape those vibrations into recognizable words. And so it's a wonderful thing that the Lord has given us this ability to speak and to make recognizable sounds so that the inner feelings of our minds goes out in outer communication to other people, and so we can talk to one another, providing we're speaking the same language. Anyhow, it's a wonderful thing that God has done for us. Now, there is a problem about human speech, and that is that sometimes we mask the feeling so that the feeling we have in here does not come out like that. And you've heard a lot about fake news recently. That's exactly what happens. Something that's dishonest comes out and it's fake and it's not true and it's not real. And so we do that. Now, the Bible tells us that in Matthew chapter 15, those things which proceed out of the mouth that come from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things that defile a man. So we got to be careful that we're honest in all that we do, and that the feelings of our mind translate into words that are true and faithful and upright. Now, that situation of having thoughts in your mind and the wrong word coming out, that is probably best seen in the world of politics, because you ask a politician a question and he will give you an answer, but you don't know what he's thinking. He'll tell you the answer that he wants you to hear so that you'll vote for him, but he doesn't tell you what's behind the scene. And right now, I think it's dreadful that down in the Nova Scotia, they're meeting there, the Liberal Party's meeting, that's the Federal Liberal Party's meeting, and one of the things they're proposing is now to decriminalise all drugs, not just marijuana. We need to pray mightily that the Lord will stop this young man from his mad career, because he's going to destroy this country. Politicians are famous for that. You don't know what they think. They tell you what that you want. They want you to think, but it's not necessarily the truth. Now, when you come to think about words and voices and so on, we have to think about the Lord Jesus Christ, because God has spoken, and he has spoken unto us in the person of his Son. It tells you in Hebrews 1, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last times spoken us unto us by his Son. The Lord Jesus is the Word of God. And when Adam heard the voice in the garden, that voice was the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. You read in John chapter 1 that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus Christ is the Word of God. And it tells you there in Hebrews chapter 6 also that God was willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, that's his being and his word, in which it was impossible for God to lie. And so while we can lie by translating the thought in our mind into something else coming out, with regard to the Word of God, the Lord Jesus, the voice of God, he does not lie. He is absolute truth, and his promises cannot fall to the ground. We saw here how that in Samuel's case, the Lord prevented his words from falling to the ground. The words of the Lord Jesus Christ, they do not fall to the ground. Now, in the voice, we have a wonderful illustration of the Trinity. I've told you there are three parts to speech. You've got the inner feeling, you've got the air breath, and then you have the words that come out at the end. And by our speech, our heart is revealed. Now, God the Father, he is the one who planned the covenant of grace and the covenant of salvation. It's interesting that the Holy Spirit, the word Spirit is the word pneuma, from which we get pneumatic, and it is the holy breath. The Holy Spirit is the holy breath of God. And then Jesus Christ is the Word. So you have God in the mind of God, his covenant, and it's brought forth by the Holy Spirit, or the holy breath of God. And Jesus Christ, he is the Word of God, and he is man, God's last word to a dying word. There's absolute holiness in all that God contemplates and does. He will always do and say that which is right. Now, God has blessed us with a tongue, and that's why we're singing some of those hymns tonight. He's blessed us with a tongue, and that tongue is to be used in the service of the Lord. You heard this morning about the young boy who had the loaves and the fishes at the feeding of the 5,000, and he gave what he could to the Lord. And likewise, in our case, we are to give our voices, to give expression to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, some people have difficulty in speaking for the Lord. In my previous church, we had a woman there who had the same name as us, McClelland, but she didn't ever She wasn't related to us in any way. But she was quite a character, and I used to tease her. She had red hair, and that gives an indication of what she was like temperamentally. And this woman, she's a great friend of ours, she could rip politicians to pieces. She could go to a political meeting and she'd tear the strips off them like nobody else I ever heard could do. But then she says to me, "Mr. McClelland, I can't pray in the prayer meeting." And I says, "Evelyn, surely that you who can tear politicians to strips, surely it's not difficult to pray in the prayer meeting." And I believe she did learn how to pray in the prayer meeting. But the Lord has given us a tongue, and that tongue is to be used for the service of the Lord. He's given us the faculty of speech, and it is to advance the kingdom of our God. Now, there's a warning here. And that warning is that our speech may fall to the ground. That's what I want to get at here in this verse where it says there that the Lord did let none of Samuel's words fall to the ground. Now, what does that mean when it says that the words falling to the ground? Well, there's a couple of things we can think about, maybe three, that and more. There is the idea of water. Water falling to the ground comes down from the heavens. And when it falls on a field, that's good because it causes growth. But this past week, we had a pretty rough storm over the weekend, and there was heavy, heavy rain, was it, on Monday, and we got a leak in our gym in the new school. And I was in there on Wednesday, and here's buckets all over the place collecting the water that was coming down. And that water coming down was absolutely useless. Nothing you could do with it. If it was falling on plants, it could cause the plants to grow, but it wasn't doing that. It's falling on the floor of the gym, and all it was doing was discouraging our people and damaging our floor. And so there is a case of something falling down and becoming useless. Now, we can ask ourselves, Lord, do the words that I speak, do they encourage people as believers to go on with the Lord? When I speak to people, do I help them to grow in the grace of the Lord? Because water on the grass is good, but water on a dry rock is nothing. It's just useless. Now you can think of Moses. Moses, the Lord called him and wanted him to lead the children of Israel. And he said how that he was of slow speech and so on, and he wasn't able to do the job, he thought. So he was not very good at speech. And the Lord told him that he'd be with his mouth and he would tell him what to speak. You have a look at the end of Moses' life. Now, at the beginning, he was slow of speech and of a slow tongue, and he felt he couldn't minister. But at the end, in Deuteronomy chapter 32, you discover he's crying now, "Give ear, O ye heavens!" Now that's a change for somebody who couldn't speak. He's now calling upon the heavens to hear. It says, "Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain, my speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass, because I will publish the name of the Lord. Ascribe ye greatness unto our God." So what a change it made for him, because the Lord took hold of him, and at the beginning of his life, very reticent about saying anything, but now at the end he's calling upon the heavens and the earth to listen as he would have his doctrine drop like the rain and the dew. So may the Lord help us, that we pray that the Lord will help us, that as our words come out, that they will be a benefit and a blessing to those that we speak to. Like, I can think of my life that I served my apprenticeship in the aircraft industry, and some of those men are pretty rough men, ungodly men. And it's funny how they can tell you something nasty and you'll remember it for the rest of your life. And somebody gives you a Bible verse, and you have difficulty just memorizing one simple verse. That's a fact of life. And I can remember this day things that I don't want to remember, but somebody told me them, and their words dropped into my life and didn't do any good. And my friend, we need to ask ourselves, Lord, what is our speech like? Is it useful or is it useless? The second thing we could think about is the idea of an arrow. And the bowman, he puts the arrow into the bow, and he pulls the bow back, and he lets the arrow go. Now, if the arrow falls to the ground, what does that mean? It means it has missed the target, didn't get to the target. So the lesson for us is very, very clear. God has given to us His Word, and He wants His Word to be as a bow and arrow, and the arrow to go to the hearts of the people that we are ministering to. But if the arrow falls short, we've missed the target and we failed to reach the end that the Lord wanted for us. Now, the Lord has given to us His Word to glorify Him and to reach the lost. And so we need to ask ourselves, Lord, do my words, do they fall to the ground before they get to the target, or do they get into the heart of the person to whom I am ministering? And the man who's going to use the bow, first of all, he has to take aim, and then he has to draw the bow back, and then he has to let it go. And the Lord has given us a word for the gospel of the Lord Jesus, and we are to use that to reach the lost. And we need to pray, Lord, is my speech, are my words seasoned with the salt of the grace of God? There's an awful warning in Matthew chapter 12 and 36, where Jesus said, every idle word that man shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. And you think of the millions and millions of words that we speak in our lives. Somebody asked me tonight how many sermons I had preached in my lifetime, and I gave them a rough estimate of what I thought it might be like. But you think of the number of words that we speak in our lives, and how many of those words actually reach the target and do the job, or do they fall short, do they fall to the ground and not get the job done? And you think, talking about idle words, I don't watch television except maybe I watch the news a little bit, and that's so bad that it gets to the stage we don't want to watch the news even. And on the TV and on the radio and so on, you've got people who run talk shows. And people seem to get latched onto these things. And I have never listened to such drivel as these characters bring forth. And it may be in the realm of the sports world or the political world or life in general, and they're just talking and talking and talking. And where are their words going? What are they achieving? Are they doing anything? Are they, as the Lord says, idle words? And these people, they're self-appointed purveyors of wisdom, and their words are buried in uselessness. And there's a day of reckoning coming, and they'll have to give account for God. Now, I think there's one particular man I'm thinking of. I'm not going to give his name, but he does sports. And he seems to be a reasonable man, and would even maybe be a Christian. But he stands and he talks about the infinite details of baseball and hockey and all the rest. And I think, at the end of my life, is that what I want to do? Is that what God wants me to do? The word just falling to the ground and not doing anything. May the Lord help us to be able to speak clearly and well and hit the target and be able to reach people with the gospel of the Lord Jesus. There's another thought here that we could think about, and that is to think about a sword. And the soldier goes forth with the sword, and the sword is required for the battle that he has to face. Now, if the swordsman drops his sword to the ground, he is very vulnerable, and he is in great danger, and he's going to lose the fight. So he must hold on to the sword if he's going to win. Now, God has given to us a sword. And that sword is described in Ephesians as the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And the Lord has given to us an infallible weapon, the sword of the Spirit. Now, you remember when Jesus was tempted, the devil came to him, and three times he tempted him. And how did the Lord answer? Did he call 10,000 angels to come and defeat the devil? No. What he did, he quoted from Deuteronomy three times, "It is written, it is written, it is written," and he sent a sword into the devil, and he got the victory at the time of the temptation. Now the Lord, he has passed down to us the very same weapon. It wasn't a supernatural weapon that we couldn't have. It was one that he gave to us so that we can use the sword of the Spirit to do the work of the Lord. And of course, the lesson is clear. Let us not drop the sword, but hold fast to it. Remember, one of these TV guys, radio guys, is dead now many years. But he wanted us to come and to discuss Christianity. But don't bring your Bible. I don't want you to quote the Bible. So he wants us to leave the sword down and go in battle. If we go to battle in our own charges, we're going to lose. But if we go and hold on to the sword of the Spirit, he'll give us victory. Again, in Samuel, you find that Saul, he had denied the Lord and he had disobeyed the Lord. And he saved the Amalekites, some of them. He saved the king of the Amalekites, Agag. And it tells you there that Samuel, in his job as the priest and the leader of Israel, he took a sword and says he hew Agag to pieces, cut him to pieces. And that's a thought that we need to keep in mind, that we have the sword of the Spirit and the enemies of God can be cut to pieces by the Word of God. I had a dear friend in my younger years when I was just a young believer, and he worked in the aircraft factory with me. And he was not a very well-educated man by the world standard. And he was what you call an army scripture reader. After work, he would go home and put on his army uniform, go to the local army barracks, and there he would witness to the soldiers, who were a bunch of hard men. And I had to laugh at some of the stories that Jimmy was able to tell me, because you get these smart aleck soldiers, and they were going to bring all kinds of things, but put a Bible in Jimmy's hand, and they couldn't stand against him. He had an answer for everything that they said, and the joy of leading many of them to the Lord. And he was a great influence in my life in the early days. So may the Lord help us to take a good grasp of the sword of the Spirit and to pray, Lord, let us not drop it. Let it not fall to the ground, but let us, Lord, go forth in the battle against the world, the flesh, and the devil, and to overcome by the grace of God. Then we have the wisdom of our speech, because we need to have wisdom, and the Bible tells in James 3 and 17, the wisdom that is from above is pure, it is peaceable, and it is gentle. Now, Corinthians tells us of the wisdom of words of the world. But we have a need to have the wisdom of God in our speaking and in our testimonies. And by way of a practical application, how can we stop our words from falling to the ground in useless endeavor? Well, the first thing we need to do is, first of all, recognize a need. And that need is that we need to have the Lord's help. That's what Samuel had, because it says he grew and the Lord was with him. And we need to recognize that we cannot do anything without the help and the blessing of the Lord our God. And the older I get, the more I realize that even for preachers, especially for preachers, we need to have the power of the Holy Spirit. Because it's so easy to get up. The brother asked me how many sermons that I could just go back to an old one and go through. Well, that looks so good, and bring that one out and deliver that. But what we need is the word for the people at a given time, and a word straight from the Lord. And one of the prayers that I pray all the time is, Lord, Grant that every message that I speak from this moment in time until the moment you call me home, grant, Lord, that it will be a message from heaven sent specifically to meet the need of the people to whom I minister, and may, whether it's in the public platform or in private conversation, and may that word be given in the power of the Holy Ghost. We need to pray that we'll not just be saying words that'll drop to the ground, but will be powerful and effectual to get to the hearts and the needs and the minds of the people to whom the Lord has called us. Now, how did Samuel get it? And how do we get it? Well, I think we need to pray. And pray on Psalm 141 and verse number 3. Mark that down. Psalm 141 and verse 3. This is a prayer that we ought to pray every individual day as believers. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth, to keep the door of my lips. In other words, Lord, put a set of doors on my mouth, and only open the doors when something wholesome and good is going to come out. And keep it shut, Lord, so that anything that ought not to be said will not be said. And that's a good prayer to pray. Lord, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth, and keep the doors of my lips. You see, it's so easy to just say anything, and as the Bible says and elsewhere, that a fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in till afterwards. And so it's wise to think about what you're going to say and to pray to that end. And in situations you find yourself in, situations of difficulty perhaps, need to know the mind and the will of God and to pray, Lord, set a watch upon my mouth or before my mouth and keep the doors of my lips, and only let them open when there's something that is good to be said. Now, Samuel's words would have fallen to the ground if it were not for the Lord's intervention, and he needed divine help. And we need divine help, and so we should pray continually, Lord, fill us with the Holy Ghost, and grant that our speech shall be that which is pleasing to Almighty God. There's something else, and that is that we should watch our tongues very, very carefully. That verse that I gave you from Proverbs, a fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in till afterwards. And it's good to think seriously about what you're going to say before opening the mouth like a handbell and just saying whatever the first thing is that comes there. So we need to watch our tongues. In the Sunday school, we used to sing a little choral, so, oh, be careful, little tongue, of what you say. And we need to be careful about that, because we can so lose our testimony. Read James chapter 3. And you'll recognize the difficulties that the same tongue can bring forth that which is glorifying to God and goes up, and also the same tongue can bring out that which is dishonoring to God and falls to the ground. So may God help us to watch our tongues and be careful what we say. Now, in Samuel's case, that no doubt the Lord was speaking to him here particularly about his prophetic ministry. He was one of the great Old Testament prophets, and no doubt that was one of the things that the Lord kept him from his words from falling to the ground. But I believe not just his prophetic ministry that God gave him, but also his daily conversation, that the Lord would keep his words from falling to the ground, but use them for the advancement of the kingdom of God and the blessing of the Lord. Samuel's words, obviously, were not wasted, but they were used mightily of Almighty God. And then again, acknowledging the need of God's power. How we need to have the Lord, the Bible tells us, not by man's might or by man's power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. So we need to pray for the help of the Holy Ghost. Our words would be worthless and would fall to the ground, but it's only the Lord's power that can reach the target, and may we ever be conscious of that fact Lord, we need thee. We need thee to bless us and to guide us. One final thing I want to say, and that is that Samuel's words were not protected by Almighty God until he had a personal encounter with God, and that is the main message of this chapter 3 in 1 Samuel. And it's just the same for you and me. If we are going to have a voice that will speak out for God, it will not be until we have first of all had a personal encounter with our blessed Lord and our Savior. And so the question comes, have you as a person met the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you heard from him as Samuel did? Have you heard the message? And did you hear his voice? Did you respond to it? Have you asked the Lord Jesus into your heart? My friend, time is passing on, and it's time to seek the Lord while he may be found, and to call upon him while he is near. And if there's one here, maybe a young person, and you have not yet come to the Lord, that perhaps you are going along and thinking because your mother and your father are committed Christians that it's well with your soul, my friend, they can't save you, neither can we. You've got to come to Christ yourself. Samuel was only a young man, but he had a personal experience with the Lord. The Lord spoke to him, he responded, and he was anointed of God to go forth as a great prophet of Israel. And my friend, today, the Lord is calling. And have you heard his name, your name being called by him? And up to the present time, you said, no, Lord, and not yet. Some other time, some more convenient day, on thee I'll call. Don't be like the one in the Bible who crossed over the deadline and missed out because he had rejected the voice and the call of the Lord. God says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So may the Lord help us to look at this verse and to pray upon it, that, Lord, that you will keep our voices and our words from falling to the ground in useless endeavor, but maybe be used mightily for the extension of thy kingdom. Let's bow together in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we bow before thee tonight, and we thank thee for the fact that thy word always is something new for us to learn. And Father, we pray that thou will bless each of thy children, and Lord, especially for our ministry, whether it be in the Sunday school or the day school or whatever they are doing for thee, our Father, we pray that their words may not be lost and dropped to the ground in useless endeavor, but rather we pray it will be used of thee and it will hit the target. And Father, we pray it will be the joy of seeing precious souls come to know thee. Be with us now, we pray, and part us in thy fear and with thy blessing. Take us to our homes in safety and make our homes a blessing there, and unite them around the cross of the Lord Jesus, for we ask it in his name. Amen.